This, the same wording is found in two passages. Two passages in Judges. I think I gave the brother chapter 17, verse 6. It is also found in chapter 21 and verse 25, the very same thing. Chapter 21 and verse 25 is the last chapter in the book of Judges. It is interesting that the inspired writer who wrote Judges would repeat that truth as he ended the book of Judges, which was pointed out almost in the middle of the chapter. I ask if one of you will to read it for me from any of the passage, either chapter 17 or chapter 21, verse 5, or 17:6. Anyone?
In those days, there was no king in Israel.
There was no king in Israel.
But every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Every man was a law unto him or herself. But Brother Mitchell, he not said that. Read it again. You can read the other passage, 21, 25.
In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Now, this may sound like an innocent statement. The statement is actually an indictment against Israel. Because the statement means that every person was a law unto himself or herself. The whole lesson today is about that. And if you choose to title the lesson, you may title it Authority or Anarchy. Authority or Anarchy. Civil authority, what we call government, is not of the devil. It's of God. It was not Satan who put it in man's mind to come up with governmental system where either a few people set themselves up to make rules and regulation for the rest of the people, or the other form that governmental authority may come about. It was the Almighty God who put it in man to have civil authority. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because God is a God of order. Let me trying to figure out where should I start. Start with God, start with the Godhead, or start with human being. Well, let me start on earth, since that's where we are. Community leaders are important. It is God's will that in every area of life we have authority. That's as God's will. God wills it that as human beings we have authority over ourselves. In the Bible, it is listed as temperance. Are we all here? God wills it that in the home, there is authority. That's why God wills it that the husband be the head of the home. You may say, Brother Mitchell, me not like that, and that is for them time 2,000 years ago. Well, when you shove that one side, you suffer the consequences. Wherever in the home, and I've pointed out to you, my mother always said, two bulls can't reign in one pen. Wherever you have, remember, wife and husband cooperate. Huh? Sit down and discuss what, when a situation comes up where they need the input of each other. They do that. They are to do that. Get one another's opinion and share ideas what is best for this decision they are going to make. But the Almighty God fixed it that there are times when a final decision must be made, and God give that right to the husband. You or I may not like it, but when we fight against that, there are consequences. That's right. Truly. But not only in the home, in the community, local community, God wants that there be some leadership around. May we move from the community to the wider society. God wants it that there be leadership. Let us run to the book of Romans chapter 13, or is it 15, 1?
Let every soul
be subject
unto the higher powers.
Unto the higher, the word power can be translated authority. Unto the higher, what?
Powers.
Powers. Notice it is pluralized. It's important that you note that. Because in a little while, it's going to be singular. Let every soul be subject unto the
higher powers.
Now, that's governmental authority. That's what that is referring to. Brother Mitchell, is that referring to the PNP or Labour? No. God is not interested so much in party politics. What God has interest in is that there are people, either they set themselves up because they themselves are going to have responsibility to God, or they are selected. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers.
For there is no power.
Now notice how that is singularized. There is no power
but of God.
But that of God, that's the only power there is. Wait. All other power or authority is derived and are subordinate to the powers, to the power of God. Every governmental, political power, wherever it is found in this universe, those powers exercised by man, whatever the government, they are derived, that is, they come from God, and they are under the regulation of the power of God. Doesn't matter how a dictator or how a democratic system seems to be working, they're under the power or the authority of God. There is no power but of God. Read on.
That be but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God.
Note that. They had their origin in God's will and God's purpose. When it says the power that be, they are ordained of God. That is, it is God's will that there be civil authority, there be leadership from the smallest segment of society, the home, to the wider society. God wants there be authority, because that creates order, and God is a God of order. One of the things that gave me problem umpteen years ago, 22, 23, was asking the professor in the classroom, why God, at age 23, I had been a Christian for some 7-8 years. At age 23. Mm-hmm. And in a classroom, doing my Bible course, I asked the professor, why God permits slavery? And why the Bible encourage the Christian slave to be subject to his master? That gave me problems. The professor explained that the Almighty God in his wisdom knew that if violence is employed or was employed to free the slave, in many cases, like in the first century of Christianity, it would have done so much harm to Christianity than good. The Almighty God in his wisdom knew that as time goes on, Jesus Christ and Christianity would wipe away slavery. And it did. We talk about Abraham Lincoln free the slave in America and what and what. Yes, they play an important part. But it was the teaching of Christianity that get to their conscience. And the Almighty God knew this. When the professor in classroom explained that, I still didn't get it. Well, I started to accept it. But it still confused me. But as the years go by, I could see the wisdom where the Almighty God wants slavery. The Almighty God wouldn't mind if, through human effort, slavery gotten rid of instantly in an orderly way, because God is forever a God of order. In fact, while I'm at it, let us run to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 28 to verse 30. Quick. I think that's where it is found. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 28 to 30. Read for me.
But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church.
No, wait. Don't move. All that is about order, you know, in the church. Huh? There was a situation recent within the past 8 weeks where in one of our congregation, one brother was up there to do something and was doing what he's doing quite well. And there was another brother who feel he needs to be up on the pulpit too. Now, he wasn't so well, but he fight and fight until he gets up on the pulpit. The other brother who was there to do what he was asked to do was there doing it quite well, so he stepped one side. The brother who didn't have any reason up there but just want to be up there was trying to go back down and could hardly get down because he wasn't well. So the other brother said, "Brother, you better don't fall or else you're on your own." Now, you see, order. Brother, where are you? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 28, read on.
But if there be no interpreter.
If there be no interpreter, let him keep silent.
In the church.
In the church, read on.
And let him speak to himself and to God.
Read on.
Let the prophet speak two or three.
Watch here. Let the prophet speak two or three.
And let the other judge.
Let the other judge. Read.
If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let him first hold his peace.
Let, you notice the order? Let him hold his peace. If something is revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, by God, he must learn to shut up until he get the chance to speak. So here you have in the Lord's church, God wants order. Much too much indiscipline in our society. Much too much. I remember some time ago listening to a taxi driver. I believe we were both at a place where I was get a tire repaired. And he was talking to a friend of his, and he was telling the friend, and he used the term, he said, like he was saying, when I am trying to make a lane. And I said, I better listen to get some education here. You see, when the taxi, them are bore and bore at them and make a lane. Now, the authority give us two lanes. You go in one direction, you have two lanes. But when a taxi want to go his way, not all taxi, then they make a lane. They literally push you off the road so as to go about their business. That type of indiscipline has create mayhem on the street. Accident. That is never of God. You and I must never be a part of that. If something be revealed,
let him speak to himself.
Let him speak to himself.
And to God.
And to God.
Let the prophet speak two or three. And let the other judge.
Let the other judge.
If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace.
Let you see, another point that is coming out here is God never, people give you the idea that when they have the Holy Spirit, they can't control themselves. Are you getting what I'm getting from the passage? If something be revealed to you or me in those days when there was instantaneous revelation from God, the New Testament was not yet completed. That person to whom something was revealed, that person had control over himself. It was never a situation where the Almighty God revealed something to him and the Holy Spirit empowered him that he must speak. No, he had control. Why? Because God is a God of order. In God's love and wisdom, God had imparted some power or some authority even in the natural order. Run to the book of Psalms 136, verse 7 through 9. Let us hear it.
To him that made great lights.
To him that made great lights.
For his mercy endureth forever.
His mercy endureth forever.
The sun to rule by day.
The sun, notice the word rule. What this passage is implying, that even in nature, God put order. The sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by
night.
But not only that, under the Old Testament system, we have the Almighty God in his manifold wisdom has delegated authority. The Almighty God did this in the Old Testament. God delegated authority to the king, to the prophet, to the priests and to the judges. Wait, in these four departments of human relationship, or human leadership, king, the prophet, the priests, the judges, the Almighty God instituted what we know today as government. That's right. That is under the Old Testament system. The Israelite nation, which lasted for about 1400 years, you find authority to rule, to direct, to guide the people was vested by God in the king, in the prophet, in the priest, and in the judges. What we read in the book of Judges, that in those days there was no king. The period of the judges was one of the unpleasant period in Israel history. And therefore what we have read in chapter 25, 21, 25, and 17, 6, is an indictment. It's, in fact, it was under this situation that the Almighty God gave permission. Watch here, watch here, watch here. Permission for them to have king. The Almighty God would rather the Israelites be led by their prophets, their priests, etc. Israel took example from the heathen nation and wanted king, and it was almost a downhill invention. May I? When we talk about authority, when the Bible uses the word power, you can interchange it with the word authority, meaning the same thing, and that is authority, the power, the permission, or the license to do something or to do anything. Texts such as Acts chapter 4, verse 6 through verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, 1 Corinthians 1, 14 through 15. These are all texts addressing the subject of authority. Let us just run quickly to Acts 4, 6 through 7.
And Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest.
As many that were of the kindred of the high priest. These are the people that then constituted the Jewish high court. You had that then? That when the local leadership were unable to decide things, it went right up to the Sanhedrin Council. Of course, when the Roman dominate Israel, things that call for a final judgment was Caesar's palace. God, let us hear 1 Corinthians 14, 37.
If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, they come from God. That's about authority. What the Apostle Paul was saying, don't feel it is my imagination. It is from God. Let me point out, as I started, that the Almighty God instituted authority in the whole. The Almighty God instituted authority in local councils. The Almighty God instituted authority in the wider society. Things like general election. Luckily for us, and thank God, we live in a democratic system where we help to select our leaders. But let me drop this by, Christian. Where you even have dictators, if those are that dictator bring some order, God is for that. Wait, God might not be for that cruel, greedy dictator who all he wants is to take away the people's possession. God might not be for that dictator, but God may permit him because he brings some semblance of stability. That's God. Even in the Godhead, there is authority. Huh? You have never read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through 3? Let us hear it. Let us hear it.
Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren. that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you.
Read on.
But I would have you know.
I want you, Christian, to know
that the head of every man is Christ.
And wait, notice the stratification here. This is talk about authority, and it is talk about order. The head of every man is?
Is Christ.
Jesus Christ. That is, we are subordinate to Christ, humanity. Are we all here? Amen. We must respect what Jesus Christ has to say to us. When we do not respect it, we suffer consequences. The head of every man is Christ.
And the head of the woman is the man.
The head of the woman is the man. Brother Mitchell, you can wipe out that one day. Read on.
And the head of Christ is God.
You get it? You get it? That's the Godhead. When he talks about the head of Christ is God, that's the Godhead. But even there you have authority and order in the Godhead. Even in heaven, you have order. You ever heard about archangel? Have you ever thought what that imply and mean? I notice whenever the word archangel is used, it's usually used in the singular. Huh? What is the implication, Brother Mitchell? Run to the book of 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and Titus, or rather Jude, it has one chapter, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4:16.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel.
Notice, with the voice, are we all there? With the voice of the archangel, one, singular. Look at Jude, it has one chapter, verse 1.
Yet
no, verse 9, I think. Is it verse 9 I'd said?
Verse 9.
Yes.
Yet Michael the archangel.
Here again, Michael, the name of the archangel is Michael. One, when the Bible speaks of angel, generally, it's usually pluralized. Many are many thousands of angels. But there is one. Arch, Brother Mitchell, what does that mean again? The top dog. The head. The person who have, that angel who have authority over all the other angel. The leader over all the other angel. His name is what? Michael. Who set it up like that? God. So in the society of heaven, you have order because God is a God of order. And that's who we sometimes short-sighted as we are, don't see the wisdom in that, but God sees the wisdom in that. Among the lesson that there will be a new series of lessons dealing with some of the very thing we are talking about, surrounding the fact that God is a God of order and governmental authority is of God. Starting January, which is next month really, we will start a series. And one of the things I want to share with the gunmen are the gun women out there, is that when you fight against or put yourself up against the police, you're putting yourself up against God. Not that the police is God, but the police is an agent of the state. When that police carry out his work lawfully. Are we all there? No, not when he carries out his work unlawfully, not when he tramples on the law, because when he, a police, a judge, a prime minister, failed to live by the laws of the land, God holds him responsible. He doesn't get away from God. But when the police carry out his work lawfully, police, soldier, whoever, God sees that police, that whoever, that judge, soldier, as an agent of the state helping to create stability. And you know what? God, in his wisdom, knows that stability is always in the interest of his cause, the cause of the church. Always. So, God is ever for authority and order. Therefore, in the home, in the civil society, Romans chapter 13 was talking about the society. In fact, read a little more from that passage, because questions keep coming. People ask, Brother Mitchell, you believe in capital punishment? Let me see what heaven says about that. Romans, take up from you were in chapter 13. You can start from verse 2 or 3.
Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God.
We all hear that. The laws of the land and the different people that are agent of the state and are placed in position to help see that those laws be kept. Because when they are kept, they are in the interest of everyone. When we put up opposition against them, when they become just our automatic enemy, then we are showing an attitude that is contrary to the will of God. Read on, brother.
And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
Everybody hear that? It's the Almighty God speaking about government, you know, civil authority. When you put up resistance, you shall receive what?
Damnation.
Damnation. Read on.
For rulers are not a terror to good works.
Rulers, governmental authority, civil authority, they do not generally terrorize law-abiding citizens. The passage is not implying that you do not have people who are supposed to live up to the law who go contrary to the law. The Bible is not implying that. May I just drop by here? Judges. We need judges. But even the inspired Apostle Paul refer to judges are as unjust. That's right. Because until you have Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel reigning in your life, you are not going to be able to dish out justice the right way. But even in their limitation, these judges perform a good work. Rulers are not what, brother? Terror?
Are not a terror to good works.
Yes, rulers do not generally terrorize law-abiding citizens. Read on.
But to the evil.
They terrorize lawbreakers. Read on.
Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power?
Will you not be afraid of the power?
Do that which is good.
Do that which is good. That is, be a law-abiding person.
and thou shalt have praise of the same.
And the same civil authority will praise. You're not finished, brother. You never reach his sword yet. Read.
For he is the minister of God.
Wait, Brother Mitchell. The police, the soldier, the judges, etc. They are minister like you. No, they are not minister like me. You see, they are minister in a secular sense. They will not be rewarded by God. Let's say I become a prime minister and the people keep voting me in for 50, 100 years because they feel I'm a good minister. That does not add up to any spiritual merit or benefit. Now, for me now to get spiritual blessing, I have to acknowledge my sin and turn to Jesus Christ. So the government and the agent of the state as God's minister is not the same as those who teach the gospel, preach the gospel, and commit themselves. It's two different areas working for the same person. One carries eternal benefit. One carries whatever benefit is paid here. Read on. Mm-hmm.
For he is the minister of God to thee for good.
Everybody get that? That's why God has, he is the minister. God put it in man to have civil authority. And the Almighty God, while God had this in mind for the wider society, God was always considerate of his people. In the time of Israel, it was Israel. In the time of the church, it is the Christian. He is the minister of God for your good. I'm glad for the police. A lot of gunmen over out there don't realize that if society boiled down to where the man with the biggest gun rule, then when him have the biggest gun and think that he will last forever, him going to only put it in the head of another man to go and invent a bigger gun and come and shoot him down. He doesn't realize we need an independent authority to balance justice and to protect him as well as he protects me. Read on, brother.
But if thou do that which is evil.
If you do that which is evil.
Be afraid.
Be afraid.
For he beareth not the sword in vain.
It is God's will. It was God's will then that the soldier bear his sword. If he represent an agent of the state, it is God's will now that if necessary, I said if necessary, that the police carry his gun. There is a completely different scenario when the police use his gun to carry out his vendetta or his revenge, as against he uses gun to defend himself because he was acting lawfully. That's a two different thing. When he uses gun as an agent of the state and uses it lawfully, the Almighty God is with him 100%. He does not carry the sword in vain. The sword is an instrument of death. When a person is properly tried, evidence is brought in a right way, and the person is tried and found guilty, and the law says that he must be hung are electrocuted. God doesn't see that as cruelty. That's justice. When the Bible says he does not carry the sword in vain, whatever instrument that the civil authorities see necessary to work as a deterrent against lawbreaker, the Almighty God is for that. He does not carry the sword in vain. Thou shalt not spare the rod. Oh, the younger generation doesn't know that. That's why this generation is like that. You know, it's yesterday, because the food was so nice, that Brother Morris and myself sat at the same table and were looking back how we were brought up. Now, I'm much older than he is. But he wasn't too far from my time. How we were brought up. And I was saying to Brother Morris that, you know, just the other day, Melanie was speaking to her mother, Sister Mitchell, and said that she's sorry she's not in Jamaica to sort of now and again give a good spanking to her bigger girl. Because over there, if you talk too hard to them, police put you in jail. So she wished she was in Jamaica. And she was reminding her mother that when she was up in her 18, 19, 20, and I talked to her, that is Melanie. And she know, here, I don't need her. Because by then she have her little car. I go and let the hair out of the tire. That's right. And we were going over some of the experience we have in country, and we give God thanks for the discipline that our parents instill in us. God is for that. Where everybody does his own thing, that's not ever for God. God is a God of order. We have to come to a close in this lesson. A few statements and the lesson will be yours. The reason for the social and the religious disorder stated in Judges 17:6, where the passage tells us that in those days there were no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Again, I repeat to you, if that sounds good to you, no, it's not good. That truth was not written to praise Israel. It was written as a condemnation. It was a lack of leadership. Our lack of authority. Anarchy, where every person is a law unto himself, that has ever been against the Almighty God, ever. We need some form of divine authority above us to keep us right. When the passage in Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the ways of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own step. We need divine guidance. We need it in our lives. That's why we need the gospel to tell us how to live, how to relate to one another. We need divine guidance in the Christian home. We need divine guidance in the church. We need divine guidance in the society. God vested that in the civil authority. And they are established for our good. There are much more to be said on the subject, but for now we are going to stop here. If the thought direct me to pick up on some other point, to point out, among other things, why is it safe for us to solicit God's guidance in our lives? I would like at another time to point out the fact that we are swayed, human beings, we are swayed by passion, we are swayed by greed, we are swayed by self-interest, we are swayed by partiality, we are swayed by ignorance. I would like to go in further detail in these reasons why we need outside help, we need God's help, both in the society, in the home, in the church. Man needs help. God provides that help, but we must avail ourselves of it. If you are here today, you need God's help in your life so that you can direct your life in a proper way, so that there will be more peace in your life, there will be more contentment in your life. When Jesus Christ rules your life,